Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Weekend we had our men's retreat, and on Thursday night, our first session, we watched a video which many of you have seen called How Great Is Our God. And if you have seen it, you'll know what I mean when I say, if the earth were a golf ball. If you haven't seen it, or if you forgot what that meant, I have a golf ball. It's a video by Louis Giglio, and he looks at stars that God has created. And then uses the golf ball so that we can have some comparison at Earth in comparison to what the rest of what God has created. And as he likes to say, we're not even the biggest thing in our own cul-de-sac, much less the universe that God has made. And he challenges you to look at that golf ball and look for yourself on there. And think about how small that is, and yet, in all that God has created, how much he still loves each and every one of us. He created each and every one of us and wants to have a personal relationship with each little spot on this golf ball. And after that session, Pastor Mike loved this guy, servant heart, spent 3 hours back and forth on the road to come up and lead us in about 30, 35 minutes of worship. And those 24 men that were in that room there lifted their voices up and sang to a God who does love us so, a love that can't be taken away by the world. So I'm going to challenge this group right here, this room right now, to just blow the roof off this place and sing to that Lord that does love us, guys.
Come on now. Give him a hand. Give the Lord your very best. Give the Lord your very best. Is that your best? Is that, Pastor Mike said, raise the roof. Raise the roof. Raise the roof. Father, we worship you. You are great, and you are worthy to be praised. There is none like our God. There is none like our God. He is great. Father, we worship you. Yeah, now give the band a great hand. What a spirit of worship. What a spirit of worship. Everybody stay standing. I didn't say sit down yet. Everybody repeat after me. This is the day.
This is the day.
I said, everybody, this is the day.
This is the day.
The Lord has made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. One more time. This is the day the Lord has made. And I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, are you serious about that? Then give him another hand. Father, we worship you. Before you sit down, let me tell you something. There's just something
There is just something about the truth that the enemy cannot take away. Let me have a microphone if you guys don't mind, extra mic. There's something about the simple fact that the enemy cannot take away. He doesn't have the authority to take away from you. Read your Bible. He has no authority. I said he's got power, but he has no authority to come into your camp and take it away from you unless we leave it unguarded. It's what we leave unguarded and leave vulnerable. That's when the enemy comes in, because there's a welcome mat. And he sees that carelessness on our part. And he comes in and he takes things that were made vulnerable by our decisions. So today, this is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and I'll be glad in it. We're going to come into the King's house and we're coming into His presence. And He is worthy to be praised. And we're going to start guarding the things that the King gives us. We have the King's, do you get this? We have the lion's share. We have the lion's share of God's blessing. We have heaven's best. The lion's share, the Lion of Judah. Woo, only a couple of you agree with that. Okay, I said we have the lion's best. We have the lion's best. And he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's in charge. Nobody can take anything away from you. Everybody say, Lord, I want more. Say, Lord, I expect more. Say, Lord, now I receive more in Jesus' name. And I'm going to guard it. Because he hasn't got authority to take it away from me. Now give him a hand. I want to bring the house lights up for a couple minutes. I want to welcome you to St. Charles. Have a seat. Welcome you to St. Charles River Church. If this is your first time attending, the only thing we'd like back from you today, you're going to look up at the screen. I'm going to show you a first time attender card. This is what it looks like. This is exactly what it looks like. We even have dogs in the church. Can you believe it? See, that's Earl. That's why I got a dog on the first time attender card, because we're a dog church. We believe, hey, we count your dog as two people. If you'll bring a cockroach, if it's got eight legs, that's four people, if my math is right. So whatever you have a pet, we'll count it. It's okay. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go straight into Pastor Mike's time. But before he comes up here real quick, I want to tell you something. We have a great pastoral staff. We have a great pastoral staff. We are so blessed with the staff that we have. These are men and women of God, and their families are absolutely godly families. When I took my sabbatical in May of last year, I needed, if Jason thought I had a bad day that day, I needed time away just with Gina and with my Lord. I really did. And this man stepped up to the plate. And this man led this church. And I'm not joking when I tell you this. This man led this church for a solid month with almost no communication to me. And Carmen, I'm sorry that it all fell on you. But this gentleman and my brother that's about to come and teach this morning on this scriptural principle of the assemblies of God, he absolutely is not only my right hand, but he is my friend. And I consider it a privilege and an honor to have Pastor Mike Alexander join me on the platform. Would you welcome him? Love you, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that, Pastor Barry. And I tell you, we get into this back and forth thing right now. A little love fest, huh? Okay. What this guy has done for me and being my mentor and trusting in me and following what God laid on his heart, because I know there are people that would not have done that, and given me the opportunity. God spoke through him to give me this opportunity, and I'm just so honored to be able to do that and to be able to serve this church. This is a great, I tell you, so I said, we had a great, great retreat this weekend. And Pastor Carl was huge. Pastor Carl and Dr. Phil and I, we joined together to put this material together for the retreat. Travis, is he back here? Yeah, there he is. Travis was our AV guy, did an awesome job. And it wouldn't be, even though it was a men's retreat, we got to have a woman's touch, right? Cindy Pape put our booklets together. I just gave her a sheet of paper. I said, all right, cover page 1, Patriot, Patriot, blah, 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 go on. And then she made it hers. And it was an awesome booklet that she put together. So give her a huge hand. Thank you so much, Cindy. If you look at your bulletin today, you see the title of the message, I'll Be Back. And I'm going to be honest with you. When God gave me that title, that picture is not what I got. And I think you know what I mean. Because you cannot hear those three words without hearing an Austrian accent and a gun saying, I'll be back. You cannot use those words today without just, that's what you do. You can't just say, I'll be back. You gotta say, I'll be back. And I was reading a little bit about that. You know, it's one of the American Film Institute's one of the, I think it's number 37 out of the top 100 movie lines. And when that line was put into script, it was not, there was no expectation that that was going to be something that, you know, that would grab people and that they would remember. It wasn't like Houston, we've got a problem, or build it. If you build it, he will come, that type of thing. There was no setup for it. There were no dramatic music leading you in. There was no story bringing you into that. And one of the things I read was Arnold, especially at that time, he had a problem saying the word I'll. He wanted to say, I will be back. And the director said, no, it's got to be I'll be back. And if you see the movie, it's like, again, it's, there's nothing about that that just like screams, I'm going to remember this, until he does come back. So he said, I'll be back, and he did come back, and he came back with a purpose. So long before this, we were given a promise of a return. And that's the scriptural truth that we want to look at today. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again as he promised. And as I started looking into this, it was really incredible. If you take the Bible as a whole and then average it out, one out of every 30 verses is a mention of either the return of Jesus or the end times. If you take the New Testament alone, 27 books in the New Testament, there's 216 chapters. And those 27 books, 23 of those 27 books, there are over 300 references to the return of Christ in the end times. Paul dedicated two letters to the Thessalonians to remind them of this and say what was going to happen. And as it was our truth here today, Jesus himself promised it. He spoke about it. So I think it's kind of a big thing, and that's why we have it as one of our truths. So I got several passages of scripture I want to look at. And the first one is John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. And this is the promise. This is, you know, this is one area where we see Jesus speak that promise. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Now right away, that right there. He starts with don't let your hearts be troubled. That means there's been some stuff that has been happening before that people are a little concerned about. And he's speaking to the disciples in the upper room. They're sharing the Last Supper. He's washed their feet. He has said, hey, I'm going to be betrayed. There's somebody in this room that's going to betray me tonight. And it's time for me to go. It is time for me to go. And Peter, being Peter, well, where are you going, Lord? I'm going with you. Where are you going? And Jesus says, it's not time yet. There will be a time when you will go, but not yet. And of course, Peter persists. Lord, I'm ready. I want to go with you. And Jesus says, no, as a matter of fact, you're going to deny me three times before the end of this day. So that's what's driving Jesus to, all right, I need to kind of bring things back in. I need to kind of let these folks know that everything's going to be okay. And he says, don't let your heart be troubled. And with that comes an action on our part and on their part. Trust in God and trust in me also. We have to trust in the Father and in the Son. In today's language, Jesus is saying, we got this, okay? Me and the Father, we got this. But it's up to you to believe in us, to trust in us, to put your faith and trust in us. It goes on verse 2, it says, there is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will be always be with me where I am. Everything is in Jesus, in God's timing. He's got to go. He's preparing the place for us. And not until that is completely ready will he come back for us. And as I read that, I was thinking of, you know, oftentimes, especially in today's, you know, we're much more transient society today than what we used to be. People are moving about because of jobs and so forth. And it's not uncommon for a mother or a father to go ahead and to have to get everything ready, to get the house ready before they call the family to come and join them. Or in the case of Pastor Carl, it's Kelly sending him away for the weekend so that she can do the move and get it all ready so that he doesn't have to worry about that, because that kind of freaks him out a little bit. I think when Pastor Carl spoke a couple of months ago, he's throwing moving boxes up on the stage, you know, that's, you know, moving's not his thing. So Kelly has to take care of that. And then when she's got it ready, then he can come back. Jesus goes and is preparing this place for us. And it's such a powerful promise to know that, you know, we just hold on to that. Hold on to the fact that he's getting that ready for us. The problem is we have attention spans of about 10 seconds. We get these promises, they're laid before us, they're here, we've got the Bible, we can always go back and read what's written. The disciples had lived with Jesus for 3 years. He had been teaching into them, preparing them for this time. And yet we get to Acts chapter 1, verse 9. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into the heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. It's time for, you know, Jesus has been among them for 40 days after his resurrection, which was a promise he had kept. He had told them, I'm going to die, and then I'm going to be raised again in 3 days. And he kept that. So, if that right there should tell them, hey, this is the guy, it's a man of his word. And then he lived among them for 40 more days, but it was time for him to go back. It was time for him to be ascended, to go back to his Father. It was time for him to do that so that the people that he prepared here on earth could go and do the work that he had set for them to do. But instead of saying, okay, he's gone, let's get to work, they're standing there staring. You think, is he coming back? Where'd he go? Is he? I'm not seeing him. They're just frozen. It made me think of a few years ago. Carmen had been gone for a while. And Bella was asking for Mama. And then I didn't know Bella was going to be in here today when I shared this story, so... She's asking for Mama. Where's Mama coming home? I said, honey, I don't know. She'll be home when she gets home. I don't know when she's coming home. She's waiting, asking about Mama. So a little while later, I'm looking for her, and I can't find her. I'm like, where's Bella? Ask Eli. Eli, you know where Bella is? No, I don't know where she is. I yell upstairs, Bella, Bella. No response. I walk upstairs. I walk in her bedroom, she's not there. I walk in Eli's bedroom, she's not there. Well, I've only got one more place to check, and that's our bedroom. And our bedroom faces the front of the house. And at that time, we had a chest underneath the window there, looking at our bedroom, onto the driveway. And I walk into the bedroom, and there she is. She had put a pillow up on top of that chest, and she was laying up there like this, fell asleep looking out the window, waiting for Mama to come home. Nothing else was going to happen for her until Mama came home. It was a precious moment, yes. Took a picture, of course, and then woke her up. No. No. I shared that with Carmen, and it was precious that, you know, that she was waiting for Mama, and she was going to sit at that window until she saw Mama pull in that driveway. And that's what these disciples were doing. They're looking up in the cloud, waiting for Jesus to come back. The problem is, nothing's getting done while they're doing that. Jesus has work for them to do. So these two men that were put there kind of snapped them out of it. Hey, guys, look. Verse 11, men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. You guys kind of forget about this, that he had just told you that this was going to happen. It's time for you to snap out of it. He's gone, okay? It's time to get to work. And then they did. They finally, okay, they got it. Verse 12. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. And if you continue to read in Acts, and over the past couple months, there's been a few times when we've mentioned Acts 2, 42 through 47, which drives our banners here for our church. They got to work. They went down. They selected someone to replace Judas. They waited in Jerusalem as Jesus had instructed them until they had that filling of the Spirit. Then they went out and they taught. They preached others. The church was formed and they started to spread God's word. But none of that was going to happen while they were staring at that cloud. They needed to get to work. They needed to get going. So as today, as we have the promise, you know, we know that there is a return. We need to be ready for it, and we need to keep an eye out for it. One of the really powerful scriptures about the end times is in Matthew 24. We're going to look at that in just a moment. A passage there, starting in verse 36. However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels or in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. I got to be honest with you. As I read through that, you know, and who knows how many times I've read that, it really struck me. Not even the Son knows. Jesus is saying these words. He doesn't even know when he's coming back. Only the Father knows when he's going to be ready to send him back. So it's not like you can kind of say, all right, Jesus, come on. Really, when's it going to happen? Because he doesn't know. He has no idea. Only the Father knows when he's going to come back. Verse 37, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. That's why we have to always be on guard, because we do not know. Just like in Noah's times. Even though they see Noah building this big boat, which they have no idea what a boat is, what an ark is, what a flood is, or anything like that. They just ignore it. They just go about their business. Even though they're kind of being warned that there's something coming up. And that's the way we have to be. We have to always be ready, be on guard, because we don't know. If we did know, unfortunately, what we would do, there are people who would, they'll try to beat the system. Okay, I know God's coming back on this day. So if I wait till right before then, and then I'll say, oh, yes, I will turn my life over to him, and that way it's all going to be good. You can't do that because you don't know. Tomorrow is not promised to us. We have no idea when he's going to come back. You are not going to beat the system, folks. You need to be on guard. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Can you imagine what it would be like? You're there and all of a sudden person next to you is just gone. Like, whoa, what happened? Where did they go? Earlier this, I had a class first Saturday this month. And when I left class, I contacted Carmen. Hey, I'm on my way home. She said, all right, good. We're here. 15 minutes later, I get home. Nobody's there. Car's there, but nobody's there. No, she said they were home. So my first thought was, well, they went next door. Except the back door was locked. That didn't make sense, because if they were next door, they would have went out the back door, went around. But just to check it out, I went next door. Well, nobody was there either. I'm getting a little nervous now. I'm walking all through the house, upstairs, downstairs, not a soul. Then I finally go out the front door, and then I look down the street, and I see him walking back. I'm like, whew, thank goodness. You see, I thought I got left. Even though I was just coming back from ministerial school, and I was scheduled to speak at church the next day, I got left behind. It is a crazy experience when you expect someone to be there and then they're gone just like that. And that's what's going to happen when Jesus returns. Two people walking, one knows the Lord, one doesn't. The one that knows the Lord is taken. So we have to be on guard. Verse 42, so you too must keep watch, for you don't know when the day of your Lord is coming. Understand this, if a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. Now, if you ask Carmen, that's me all the time. I am OCD when it comes to doors being locked, because I don't want anybody getting in my house. And it's not just my house. If I leave church and I'm the last one out and I'm responsible for locking the door, you know, true confessions here, I'm up there. All right. Oh, wait, let's make sure. Okay, yeah, it's locked. Carmen used to get frustrated, and then she got tired of being frustrated. She would just laugh at me at home because I'm checking doors 15 times, you know. So there's nobody getting in my house. But we need to be prepared, on diligent, be on watch. You must also be ready for all the time the Son of Man will come. For the Son of Man will come when least expected. But the great promise is he's coming for all of us who are believers. So I mentioned earlier, Paul dedicated two letters to the Thessalonians on this very subject. And we're going to look at one passage there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. Don't be someone who doesn't have hope. Be ready. Be prepared. Take that grasp hold. Hold on to that promise and have hope, knowing that Jesus is going to return. I'll tell you what, folks. Hope is incredible when you have it. Now, I'm going to share a story with you real quick, and it's going to sound a lot more squeamish than it really is, I promise you. I don't have a toenail on my left big toe. And the reason is, when I was 18 years old, I damaged that toe. And for years, that thing was just driving me crazy. And finally, 4 years ago, I got to where I could not take it anymore. I said, something's got to be done. So I met with a podiatrist, and we made a decision. We're just going to remove the nail. I said, great. And it won't come back. I said, I don't care, just as long as my toe doesn't hurt anymore. So when we set the appointment to have that done, I realized we were going to be getting ready to go on vacation, and we were going to the beach with the kids. So she said, well, no, if you're going to be at the beach and maybe in the water, you'll need to wait till you come back. I said, okay. Yeah, I love these children dearly. But that week we were gone, they did not miss an opportunity to kick that toe, step on that toe. I experienced all kinds of new pains I never knew I could have. And I bit my tongue many times, and it's a good thing I bit the tongue, because I'm not sure what would have came out. I mean, it hurt so bad. And my lovely wife, after a while, she just starts laughing. She just laughs at me. That thing's dear. But what got me through that was knowing when I got home, that pain was going to be taken away. Amen. That's right. The pain was gone. It was going to be gone. They're going to take that nail off and no more pain in that toe. Oh, man, that was so awesome. That was the only thing I could hold on to get through that week. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven and with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Each and every one of us. If you have someone who is a loved one who has went on before you, but has had a relationship with God, they get to go first. They're going up, but then you're going to go behind them. Each and every one of us. God's not leaving one of us here. He's taking each and every one of us home. So encourage each other with these words. And there is so much strength in being able to observe someone who, even in the most difficult of circumstances, can hold on to hope and the faith that God has given them. It's immeasurable what that impact can be. And in closing, I have a story I want to share about one such person that I know that is living that out today. And someone that I'm honored to say that this person is a member of my family. I have a cousin named Leah. Last March, and I have permission to share this with you, so. Last March, she was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. At 48 years old, I mean, that's not even when you're supposed to go start getting tested for it. And it was just such a shock when my aunt let me know about this. And so, you know, I've reached out to the family over these past 13 months. My cousin, every once in a while, I'll reach out to her and just say, thinking about you, praying for you. And, you know, music, songs, there's music touches me so much. So sometimes there would be a song or something I would hear. And so I would find like a link for a video and I would share it with her. Say, hey, I heard this today. Just wanted to share it with you. I hope it encourages you, let you know I'm thinking about you. And she lives in a little small town down in southeast Missouri, down to Boot Hill. That's where my mom's from. So, you know, you're very small, not a lot of people there. But what she's doing today is impacting hundreds and hundreds of lives as people are watching her on this journey. They have a Facebook page set up that has over 800 followers, people who are just sitting there tracking, posting, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. And the thing that I've seen out of all this is the way she's conducted herself with just an amazing amount of grace. Always with, you know, when you see pictures of her on Facebook or whatever, always with a smile on her face. And it doesn't look fake. It's real, a real smile. And just always seeming to have a hope. And she's living life, folks. I mean, she's not there just, she is living life. She's got a sister, my cousin Shelly, and who's just really been a rock for her. They do stuff together. Last year they went out to Las Vegas and saw Garth Brooks and, you know, she's living life. And as I've kind of observed this, so this past week, their journey took a new step. She went down to Houston to MD Anderson, to the cancer center there, to meet with the specialists there to see what's next, what's the next step. And before she left, there were people who met with her before she left, prayed with her, and wanted to send her off. Pictures on Facebook of people who had got with her. One young lady who shared on there, "I am proud to know you." Not proud of you, but proud to know you. So as this was going on, I reached out to my aunt this week. I said, "Okay, I know a lot of people have been asking you about what's going on in Houston. I'm going to go a little different direction here. Unfortunately, I've been at a distance, so everything I've seen is at a distance. But this is what I have observed. I've observed that Leah has just really held on to the hope and the faith in God and has just really remained true to the Lord. But you're the boots on the ground. You're there on the front line. Is this an accurate picture?" And she said, "Absolutely." She responded back, "Yes." She said, "It's amazing watching her hold on to her faith in God." And she goes, "Never once publicly have I heard her utter why. Why me?" Which is what we do so often, even in the smallest things, you know. "Tomorrow's Monday. I gotta get up and go to work. Oh my gosh. What a drag." Instead of saying, "Thank you, God, you've given me that job. You're providing for my family." And my aunt said, she's not, you know, that my cousin hasn't said why, but my aunt has looked at her, because even though we see a mature, grown woman, she sees her little baby. And she said, "Why her? Why not me? Why couldn't it be me that's going through this? Why is it her?" And so I just thought about that, and I thought, my gosh. I complain about so many things, and I hear people complain about, there was a few weeks ago, it was a Monday evening, just stuff going on, you know, and I sat there, and, you know, Carmen said, "What's wrong?" I go, I don't want to talk about it. I'm exhausted. I just don't want to, you know, kind of like, just let me go. And whatever it was I was going through at that time cannot even be just a speck of what she's going through every day. But she wakes up every day, looks at the enemy and says, "I will not be defeated. I'm not going to be defeated. God has a plan for me. However this goes, God has a plan and a purpose for me." So she's going through that, and we think about this messed up world that we live in. And sometimes we get so mad about what's taking place in the world today. But we have this hope that we've just talked about, that no matter what's going on here, if we've accepted Jesus, He's going to come back for us. And He's got a place ready for us that He's going to take us back to. And it's our job to go out then and to prepare others and let them know, hey, God's got something for you. So as we close, I'd like to just ask everyone to please bow your head for a moment. Please bow your head and close your eyes. I just want to block out all noise for a moment, because we can't end a message like this without giving folks an opportunity to just examine their hearts. Now, I'm not one who likes to ask for hands and lead folks into a corporate prayer. What I'm asking you to do is just take a moment, look in your hearts. The men's retreat we just went through, we spent a lot of time learning about how to talk to God. And when I say that, I don't mean just talk to God. I mean communicate with God. Taking that time to not only speak, but to listen. And for those who you know, you're not used to listening to God. You know, the instructions we were given was great. It was like, start with simple stuff. Yes and no. You know, you build that relationship up. So if you're sitting here today and you've not accepted the Lord as your Savior, and you want to grab that hope, that promise, knowing that He's going to return for you if you accept Him, it doesn't have to be a prayer of, you know, a wordy, lengthy, flowery prayer. It can just be something so simple as, Father, I don't have you in my life right now, but I want you there. I want you in my heart. I want you in my life. I turn my life over to you. And when that time comes, when you return, I want to be called up with all the other believers. And I just want to allow a moment here for, if that's you, if you want to just take that moment to speak to God. Thank you. Yes, thank you, Mike. If you don't have the Lord, take this time now to just quietly speak to Him. And if you're uncomfortable with that, we have a staff here that would just love to pray with you. Make ourselves available to have that prayer with you. Because what we don't want is we don't want you to be that person that's left behind. We want you to be called up with the rest of us. Heavenly Father, I just say, I lift up each and every person that's here today, Lord. And first, Lord, if there is someone here who has not accepted you into their heart, I pray that they've taken these last couple moments to examine their heart and to pray and to ask you into their heart, or that they'll seek out someone later to say, hey, can you sit with me for just a minute? I would really love to pray and ask Jesus into my heart. I want to be called up with the others, Lord, when Jesus comes back. And then for folks which is so many of us, and I know I have to number myself in there, who just get frustrated by life sometimes. And I lose sight of that promise, that hope, that the Lord has given us. He's given us that promise. He is going to return. And it's my role, and it's the role of other believers here, Lord, to be ready for that and to go and ready other people for that. And I pray, Lord, that we, all of us here, will just dedicate ourselves to getting your word out, Lord, and preparing others for your return. We thank you, Lord, so much for giving us that promise and that hope and always loving us, no matter what we're doing. As a song we said earlier, your love cannot be taken away. Your love is always there for us. We thank you for that, Lord, and we love you, Jesus. And we praise things in your Son's name. Amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.